video I saw this week, and it makes you really think about what is our heart beating for. First off, we're thankful that our heart is beating, or we wouldn't be here. I did some research, and the average heart rate is about 80 beats a minute. I have a very slow heart rate. My heart rate is usually about 50 to 52 for some reason, but the average heart rate is about 80 beats per minute. So your heart beats 4,800 times in 1 hour. That's 115,200 times per day. Over the course of a year, your heart and my heart will beat 42,048,000 times. If you live to be 80, your heart would have beaten 3,363,840,000 beats. About that rhythm. That's amazing. That's amazing. The message today deals with how we live our lives and what we do while we're living with these heartbeats, with this life has given us. You know, I don't know about you. I have a lot of, I still do email. I know email is something that kind of we've moved on to other things. But I have, I think I have 600 email addresses in my computer, about 600. Wouldn't it be great if we had on our computer a direct email address to God? And that we could email him at least one or two major questions that we have about our life. And immediately we would get an email back from God that would answer that question. Well, we don't have that. Actually, we do have that. It's called prayer. But if we had that, what would you ask God? Would you say, Lord, you know, where am I going to college? Some of you students will think about that. Where do I get some training? You know, will I get married? What kind of vocation should I have? You know, should I change jobs? You know, and all that relates to the question we're looking at today, finding God's will for your life. Someone said our greatest quest is to know the will of God, and our greatest conquest is to do the will of God. Now this is a big topic, and we won't exhaust all the things we could say about God's will in one sermon, but I'm going to do the best I can. I hope this kind of renews your passion to follow the Lord. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, if you will. We're going to read just about three verses. Ephesians chapter 5. Let me read verses 15 through 18. Would you mind to stand for a reading of God's word? Let me just read this to you and then we'll jump into it. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk. That means be careful how you're living your life. Are you careful how you live your life? Scripture says to be careful how you walk, how you live your life. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, that your heart beats. Look, Because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Father, help us to understand these verses, and help us, Lord, to really seek and experience your will for our lives. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. The scripture says here, don't be foolish concerning God's will. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you understand what God's will is for you right now? If you love Jesus, one of the most important things you will do is to constantly evaluate your life to make sure that you're at the very center of God's will for your life. And it says here, don't be foolish about this. You know, we only have so many heartbeats. Jesus said in John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That ought to be our motto, that our food, our heartbeat, our desire is to do what God wants us to do. Now, our problem is it's not become our food, like Jesus said. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him. You know, for many of us, it's not the source of our strength and fuel for our lives. Not too many of us miss many meals, right? Everyone here looks well fed, and that's fine. But how many of us seek God's will the way we look forward to going to Ramsay's or McDonald's or somewhere to eat? We're more concerned about filling our physical hunger than we are about experiencing God's will. So before you and I discover God's will for our lives, we first off have to have a heartfelt desire for it. I love Psalms 37:4 that says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I love that verse. It's a verse you ought to have circled in your Bible. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. What a great promise. Now, the problem is, a lot of people are confused when we talk about the will of God. When you talk to a lot of people, particularly younger people, you say, have you found, what are you going to do with your life? Have you found God's will? And we think, we're asking, have you found God's 75-year blueprint for your life? What you're going to be doing in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 80s, if you make it there. But, that's not exactly how God's will works. God seldom, He can do this because He's sovereign. God seldom drops down the package of your life story and you've got it before you. And you know exactly where you're going, what you're going to be doing the rest of your life. That doesn't happen much. As a matter of fact, the reason I think that doesn't happen, that would ruin the excitement of walking with Christ day by day. If you knew exactly what you were going to be doing next year and the year after, it was just done, written down, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. It would take away the joy. It would also take away our dependency on following Christ day by day, right? So when I think of God's will, I don't think of it in terms of God gives me the whole plan, exactly what I want to be doing all my life, and I've got it, here it is. At least that's not the way it's happened with me. For me, it's been a gradual thing, and it's been this next point. I believe God usually reveals His will, here it is, one step at a time. One step at a time. Now, as a Christian, I believe God has specific plans for your life and my life. I believe He does. It would not excite me if I thought God had a plan for my life, but He wasn't going to show me the plan. It'd be like a basketball coach, 4 seconds to go, they're behind 1 point, and they have possession of the ball, and the team huddles around the basketball coach, and the coach says, I've got a plan of how we can win this game, guys. But you know what? I don't think I'm going to share it. Just go out there and do whatever you want to do. It's fine with me. Go on, guys. Good luck. I mean, we think, well, what a stupid coach that would be, But that's not the way God works. God has a plan, and God has promised to reveal that plan to us, I believe, usually one step at a time. There's so many verses that deal with this that you ought to know. Two of my favorite verses on this point is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which is my theme verse. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean up on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And Psalm 32:8. Which is a great verse on God's guidance that says this. You ought to have that verse marked in your Bible too. At least it's marked in mine. Psalm 32:8 says, God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And I will counsel you with my eye upon you. God is going to guide us. He's going to show us. I've been a believer for 55 years. And I got to tell you, the Lord has never once broken any promise that I've ever read in that book. Not once. Now, I've broken some promises. How many of you have ever broken a promise? Put your hands up, you liars. Okay. All of us have. But I want to tell you, God has never broken a promise to me from His Word. Never. And He will never break a promise to you. So God shows us this one step at a time. Now, let me help you with this. There's two aspects of God's will you've got to understand, or you're going to be confused. And I'm going to make this very simple. First off, I think one big aspect of God's will is what I call the revealed will of God. The revealed will of God. Have you ever thought about the fact that a large portion of what God wants you to do today and tomorrow and this week and in 2018 are already right here in this book? Have you ever thought about that? A huge part. Let me give you a couple of examples. Matthew 19 and 20 says it's God's will that we witness. You say, I don't know, I'm not sure I'm going to witness. Is that God's will? Well, the answer is yes. You're already a witness. You just choose if you're going to be a good one or a bad one. Romans 8:29 says it's God's will that we be conformed to the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says not to marry a non-believer. You come to me for counseling and your mate is not a believer. And you say, what does the Bible say about our marriage? I'm going to say the Bible says you ought not do it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can choose to disobey that, but that's what God's Word says. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake coming together for church attendance. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be a good student of the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, to keep yourself sexually pure before marriage. John 15:11 says, we always have the joy of Christ in our lives. I could go on and on and on and on and give you hundreds of exact things that Christ wants you to do that are absolutely His will for your life. Now, are all of us doing all the revealed will of God right now? No. How many of you have invited anyone to come to our church in the last month? Don't show your hands, but you've even thought about, I'm going to invite my coworker or a neighbor or someone that I know is unchurched or not a Christian. Have you even attempted to share your faith, to share a track? We have tracks out here we provide that you can take and give to people. There's so many things that is God's revealed will that we don't do. So we should, let me tell you this, we should never seek, I would say this, never pray about something that God's already said something about. You know what I'm saying? For instance, don't pray, Lord, should I be a witness? God's already said, yes. This is what you ought to pray. Lord, lead me to someone to witness to. Does that make sense? Don't pray, Lord, should I be a witness? God's already said, over and over and over, yes, yes, yes. Pray, God, who should I witness to? So, keep that in mind, the revealed will of God in Scripture. That's why you ought to be a student of Scripture. Secondly, the second thing is God's will is in the area of our life where we need special guidance, but we don't have anything specific about it. Maybe not a Bible passage or a precept relating to it. This is the unrevealed will of God. Now, where there's not a precept or a law or a direct command, there's usually a principle in Scripture that helps us. And these principles are not do's and don'ts, but general guidelines. Let me give you an example of the difference in a precept and a law and a principle. The traffic sign that says speed limit 35. Now, that's a precept or a law. If you go 36 miles an hour, have you broken that law? Yes. Now, you may think, well, have I? You know who you are. Yes, you have, right? Now, the sign that says drive carefully, that sign is a principle. And that principle of drive carefully will mean one thing at 2 a.m. in the morning on a street when there's nobody on the street versus 3 p.m. when kids are getting out of school on that same street. Are you following me, church? Are you following me? That's the difference in a principle and a precept. So Bible principles don't change regardless of the culture or the time. Somebody said methods are many, principles are few. Methods often change, but principles never do. And that is true. And so many times in my life, when I couldn't find exactly the verse, I found a principle. Now you're going to think this is really stupid, but hey, maybe it is. But when I was in high school, I was a pretty good trumpet player. And that was my passion, my ambition. I wanted to be the next Herb Alpert. I wanted to be the next Al Hurd. Y'all don't know who those people are, so, Google it. But anyway, I was a junior in high school, and there was a band really pretty far from where I lived that somehow found out that I played trumpet, and they asked me to join their group. And that really kind of tickled me, And here's the cool thing. They were getting ready to make a record. A record. Those things, the little round disc things, not the donuts that we ate at 9:30. Those are around too. They were going to make a record. And so I went to a couple of practices, and they were all older than me, and they were really, really, really good. It was a very prideful thing to me. I thought, man, this is going to be so cool. I can see me walking around my high school. Yeah, here's our record. I'm on this, I played three bars on it or something but then I started thinking about that. First of all, I had to drive a long ways to be with them at practice. Then I thought, okay, and I was the youngest one, and I thought, where are we going to play? If you're in a rock band and you're trying to make it, where do you play? You play bars? You play places that probably would be illegal for me to go because I was 16. And I kept looking. I said, Lord, show me a verse in the Bible that says, Mike, do not join this group. I couldn't find it. But the principle I thought in my heart that came out that made me decide was, what little music I have in my life in playing instruments, I've always dedicated to God. My instruments, way back when I first started playing, and my trumpet was dedicated to God. And so as the more I prayed, I thought, I don't think God's going to bless this. You know what I'm saying? So I said no. I don't know where that group went. I think they became Chicago, if you ever heard of that group. I think that's who they... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But that would have been a cool story, though, had they become Chicago, and I said no. But anyway, now, let me just say this. That doesn't mean if you had been in the same situation and you had prayed, God might have said to you, you need to do that, and you'd be a witness to those people. You know what I'm saying? He just didn't say that to me. So when there's not a principle, when there's not a precept or a law, there's a principle. Now, so the first part of God's will is what's in the Word, right? The revealed will. The will of God is not some magic package that's going to drop from the heaven and contain your life story. Now, here's the deal. God has a plan for your life. If you're in high school or you're in college or you're in your 60s, and he has a plan, you know, today, tomorrow, and the next day. Now, we might make a decision today with God's guidance that will affect us for months or years to come. Let me give you some examples. If you join our church, that's going to affect you because you're going to be involved and participate, and that'll be good. You choose to go to college, that's going to affect you for 4 years. In my case, 4.5 years. In some of your cases, 5 or 6. You know, maybe some of you got through quicker than I did. You know, you might stay and get your master's or even get your PhD. Marriage is another example. You know, you make that decision that one day. Does that affect you the next week? The next decade? It affects you for the rest of your life. But the fact remains that the will of God is something to be lived out day by day. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, you want to follow me? Deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. See, our call is not to follow some package or blueprint. It's to follow Christ day by day. And if you're following Jesus to the best of your knowledge, I can almost assure you, you're in God's will. Now, if you're not following him, if you're not praying about your decisions at work and in your family, then I would say probably you're missing some things in your life, okay? Now, let me give you 3 principles and 5 specific ways God guides us real quickly, and these are simple, but I want you. First off, the first will of God is for you to be a child of the King. You be a Christian. One day, some people asked Jesus directly, in John 6:29, what must we do to be doing the works of the will of God? Jesus said, this is the will of God, that you believe in him who sent you. God's will is that you believe in him. The word believe is used 251 times in the New Testament. Actually, the word faith is the same word as believe. However, faith is a verb in the Bible. We don't have any English word for that in our language. So we use the word believe in faith. But in the New Testament, they are verbs, and that's very, very important. Now, to believe in Christ is not just to believe up here. We make that mistake. You ask most people, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe. You know, there was a guy named Jesus, I guess. There's a lot of talk about him. But it's more than that. It's a belief that changes your life. It's a commitment that changes your life. So, Jesus said, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. Do you believe in Jesus Christ to the point that you're willing to trust him with your life? That's the question, okay? God's perfect will is for you to be saved today. It really is. His permissive will allow you to reject him even to the point of annihilation. Now, if you were here last week, I did a message on Esther, and I said pretty plainly, I did not believe in what's called limited atonement. That Christ only died for the elect or those who would be saved. I believe that limits God's love, and also I don't think it's scriptural. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Now, will everybody repent? No. Is God's love and grace and forgiveness big enough for everybody to get under the tent? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, but it's our decision to make that. He wants a relationship with you, but you've got to make that choice. And that's important. The second principle is to obey the will of God in those areas of our life where we know what it is. I've already talked about this. Where we know God has said to do something, you need to be obedient. And that's important. Let me ask you a question. What is the point of God guiding you in some area that might be gray, you might not know the answer, when you're not even following him where he has said, do this? I mean, think about it. If you're not doing what God's already told you to do, you think he's going to reveal some special revelation or truth to you? The answer, I think, is probably not. He's been specific, and we need to be obedient. James 4:17 says, therefore, no one To the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Mark Twain once said, it's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that bother me, it's the parts I do understand. Think about that. That's the excuse a lot of people use. I have people say to me, you know, Mike, when I really understand the whole Bible, I'm going to make my decision. I say, good luck. There's been people a lot smarter than you and me that have studied this book forever. There's truth that just keeps coming out. You will never grasp every little detail. You know, I accepted Christ when I was a 10-year-old boy. I didn't know everything about theology then. Don't know everything about theology now. But I knew I was a sinner. I knew I needed a Savior. And you know what, folks? That's enough. If you know those two things and know that Jesus is the answer, the Savior, you can be saved. You don't have to understand everything about the Bible to accept Christ. You know, I'm not a mechanic. I really admire some of you guys that can take an engine apart. But I can take an engine apart, but it would never get back together. You know, I don't know how my car exactly. I know, you know, combustion. I understand some of that. But you know what? I didn't walk to church today. I drove my car. Even though I didn't understand everything about my car, I still trust it, still use it. I got an iPhone. You know the iPhone, where is it? You know the iPhone has more memory and more abilities than the computer we used to put a man on the moon in 1969. There's more stuff in here than those rooms and rooms of computers that did that. I don't know how this thing works. It's an amazing, amazing thing. But just because I don't understand doesn't mean that I'm not going to answer your text when you text me, right? Unless I'm in a meeting or something. So we use things we don't understand. So when people say that to you, well, you know, when I really figure it out, that's when I'm going to make. You just say, well, good luck, and you're probably not going to make a decision, because most of those people don't. Before we ask the Lord the next step in His will, we better be obeying Him in the clear things already written. Let me just say this to you. I believe a lot of you are not getting some answers that you need from God right now because you've not been obedient in some areas that you know you should be obedient in. And only you can know that and decide that and make that change. Now, let me give you five specific ways that God guides us. These aren't new, they're not new, and you know them. But I'm going to hit these real quickly. Hang with me. First off, prayer. You know, prayer, our daily conversation with God. Our main problem is, we won't stop and ask for directions. That's one of the problems we have as men, because we're prideful. Because, you know, yesterday I went to, after I did this funeral in Shelbyville, I went to Bethlehem Baptist Church where I had met this lady that I did the funeral for. I was the interim pastor there for about 6 months, and I thought I knew where I was going. And I really wouldn't check my map. I did check my phone, and it really messed me up. I finally got there, but I would have got there a lot quicker if I had looked at a map, but I didn't. Why? Pride, right? We don't ask for directions. And so many Christians make major decisions. I can't believe it. And they never ask God about it. Listen, any decision you're making, you ought to ask God to help you. I sold my truck last week. I decided to sell my truck and put it on Craigslist. And some of you may have seen it. You missed a great opportunity. And Woodford County Online, some of those places, I've sold and bought stuff and stuff like that. Be careful when you do that. I had a guy call me and he said, I'd like to see your truck. And I was in a meeting with pastors on Tuesday at our association. I said, well, I'd be glad to show it to you. If it fits your needs, fine, dot, dot, dot. Make a long story short, I showed it to him that afternoon, and he said, I want it. And he bought it. And so we went and got it done on the next day. And he told me, he's a Christian, he goes to another church, and we knew a lot of people to come, but he said, you know, he said, this is a God thing. I said, what do you mean? He said, I've been praying a long time for exactly the right truck for my business. I've been praying. He said, this was a God thing today. And I kind of felt that too. I thought, man, I said, praise God. Here's a guy that prayed about something that simple. And so, you know, to be honest, if I'm going to buy another vehicle, you know what? I'm going to be praying about it. You think, well, God's so busy. He doesn't care about that. Yeah, He does. Anything that you care about that's on your heart, God cares about. So pray about everything. That's so important. Secondly, of course, the Bible and the Holy Spirit. We've already talked about God's will is revealed clearly in Scripture. The Bible is the written will of God. So trust that. Look for the Bible. You'll find maybe a principle that will help you make a decision. You know, I love our VBS motto that we do. You know, it's Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word is like this giant flashlight of truth that goes before us and shows us the way step by step. So we speak to God through prayer. He speaks to us through His Word and the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, the godly counsel of other people. Advice from really mature Christian friends. God can use other people to give you advice and guidance according to His will. I'm talking about mature believers in our church and other places where you know mature Christians. Those people can show us things about ourselves that we might not even know ourselves. Proverbs 15:22 is a great verse for businesses as well as us individuals. It says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Let a Christian brother, let a Christian sister reflect back to you on some things and pray. There's been so many times in my life where a strong Christian brother or sister told me something that really helped me find the next step in God's will. Gary Palmer was one of the first guys I met when I went to college. He's a doctor today in Ohio. I haven't seen him for a long time, but one of the friendliest, nicest guys, smartest guys I've ever met. And I met Gary, and I was involved in the Baptist Student Union at Eastern. And really early, Gary said to me, Mike, he said, you would be great at going on one of our revival teams and either preaching or leading the music. We would send out revival teams, you know, like colleges do. I said, I never thought about that. And so he said, yeah, you'd be great. And so I did it. And all through college, went out and did revival teams. And I never thought about that. But he mentioned it to me. So let other people give you good advice. And then fourthly, your spiritual gifts and talents. All of you here have a spiritual gift and have a talent and ability. And God has given all of those, whether it's a natural ability or supernatural, it doesn't make any difference. It comes from God. Now, there are some things you can't do. Do you remember Jethro on the Hillbillies? Was that not the greatest show in the 21st century, the Hillbillies? And Jethro wanted to be a brain surgeon. Now, I like Jethro, but that was beyond his pay grade, right? And if Jethro had come to me and said, hey, Jethro, I want to be a brain surgeon, I would say, you know, probably, let's look at some other things, okay? But, you know, you got to use your mind. Let me give you an example. You know, to be honest, you know, I really think deep down in my heart of hearts that I could play in the NBA. Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing, Tom? I think I could start for the Celtics or some other bad team. But you know, to think that is really, it makes me laugh. Why? There's no way. There is no way. I would be destroyed. I couldn't last a second. That is not in my ability. So I've never even prayed about, Lord, I really want to get in the NBA. I never even prayed that. Why? Because that would be a stupid prayer on my part, right? There are some things we can't do, but there's a lot of things we can do. So know your abilities, know your talents, know your gifts. And then lastly, circumstances. God often uses circumstances to show us what we need. Sometimes God opens doors, right? And sometimes God closes doors. I've had it happen in my life so many times. Let me tell you, if something's opening up for you, this is a prayer I've prayed. A lot of times when I've gone to a church or a new ministry and the doors just were opening like crazy, this has been my prayer. Lord, it looks to me like you're opening these doors. However, I could be wrong. Therefore, God, I am praying, if you don't want me to go that direction, God, you will close the door. Close the door. And then sometimes God did. And then sometimes he didn't, and I went that direction. That's a great prayer to pray on something that you're not sure about. Lord, it looks to me like you're opening all these doors. If you're not, Lord, then show me, because I sense that's where you're leading. Pray about it, and the circumstances will help you see that. You see, God's will for you is not something strange. It's not something far-fetched. It is exactly what you need to do. Now, the third thing, and then I'm done. The third principle may be the hardest. You need to be willing to accept the will of God before you know what it is. As a matter of fact, I don't think God reveals His will until we're willing to do this. You know, I've always been willing to go anywhere God wanted to send me. I never had in my mind a geographical area. I never had in my mind a place to serve. And so I have served several different places. But I've never said, Lord, I want to serve you, but make sure it's in this particular place. Because I never thought I had the authority to do that. Because I feel led in ministry to do whatever God wants. And sometimes I got that wrong, you know. When I was a summer missionary one summer, and they needed someone, my junior year in college, they needed someone who played guitar and led singing to go to Guam. And you know what? In my heart, I thought, that is me. God, I know you want me to go to Guam. I could see the palm trees. I could feel the breeze swaying. I had never flown commercially. I had never been out of the country, but I thought, Lord, Guam. And so I interviewed with a bunch of other college students from across Kentucky, and some other guy went to Guam. I didn't get to go. I went to Eastern Kentucky and worked for 10 weeks in Leatherwood and Pippa Passes and Inez and Fleming Neon and did revivals in VBS, and it changed my life. I thought I was supposed to go to Guam, but God said, no, Mike, you're not going to get out of Kentucky this summer. But it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. Sometimes we don't know. We've got to trust and let God lead us. Trust Him. Let Him guide you. Let Him show you the way. Listen, if God loved us so much, He sent His only Son to die on the cross, do you think when we come to His will, He's going to say, you know, I'm going to make it really hard for you to find it. I'm going to make it like a game, you know, where you're going to have to really struggle. No, God wants to reveal it. He wants to show it to you. So, in review, as we end, if you're not a Christian here today, I got that, you're not in God's will. You're not in God's will. And you've got to make a decision about that. And we got to obey God in the things that we already know are according to His will. We need to be faithful to the revealed will of God. And we need to be willing to accept the will of God even before we know what it is. Who's in charge of your life today? Are you in charge of your life? Or is God in charge of your life? I heard a story a couple years ago heard about a grandson that was visiting his granddad out west where storms come up really quick, violent storms. And the granddad was getting kind of old and couldn't walk real well, and a huge storm came up. And they had not shut the barn door, which was a pretty good distance away from the farmhouse. And the granddad knew the horses might get out and get hurt and become injured. So he asked his little grandson, he said, son, you've got to go out there and close the barn door. I just can't do it. And the grandson looked out there and saw the wind and the rain coming down and said, granddad, I'm not sure I can. I can't see the barn. And the wise granddad said, son, what can you see? He said, well, I can see the fence. And the granddad said to the grandson, run to the fence and then look back. So the grandson ran to the fence and looked back. And the granddad said, son, what can you see now? He said, well, I can see the old well. He said, run to the well. He ran to the well and looked back. And the granddad said, son, what can you see now? He said, I can see the barn. He said, run to the barn, make sure the doors are closed, run back to the well, run back to the fence and come back in safely. And he did. Now that story to me really kind of shows to me in a way God's will. You can't see the barn. You can't see that third step in God's will for your life right now. I can't see it. I can't see it for me. But you can see the next step. And that's a question I want to end with. What is the next step for you? What's the next step in God's will for your life? I want you to really think and pray about that now and today. Your heart is beating like that video we saw, right? Evidently, God has something for you to do, or your heart would have stopped beating last night. So as long as your heart's beating, one of your goals and desires ought to be, Lord, I want to be at the very center of your will for my life. Will you pray with me? Father God, thank you for allowing us to worship today and talk about this important topic, Lord, of following you and being at the center of your will. And Father, I pray for anyone here today that's not a Christian. They've never made that decision of trust and faith in you, that today might be the day, Lord, where they accept you and receive you and become a follower of Christ and get into your will. And Father, for those of us who are Christians, Lord, there's so much of the revealed will of God in the Bible, Lord, that we just kind of throw out and pass over. Forgive us, Lord, for that. Help us to be serious about what we read. Help us to obey what we know is right. And Father, I pray that all of us, I pray that our church, Lord, would be at the very center of what you want us to do and accomplish here in this place for the cause of Christ. So, Lord, bless this time of invitation this morning. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.